QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for January 20th, 2016. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. The ARRL Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. You may also listen to it as a podcast on your smartphone. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you answering the call to serve in historic Missouri flooding, Aries supports major flood response in Pacific Northwest, Global Set 2015 is a wrap with lessons learned, West Central Florida Aries ACS Group learns in Skywarn course, Winter Field Day at end of month, Northern Indiana Hams activate NWS office for Skywarn Recognition Day. Letters, HOA embraces amateur radio for emergencies. Tips for beginning net control operators. Sacramento EC recognized for past service. See something, say something. And Aries in 2015. At the top of the list is answering the call to serve in historic Missouri flooding. Amateur radio operators put their skills to work during historic flooding in the greater St. Louis area early this month. Aries volunteers from three counties contributed extensive time, talent, and equipment to emergency efforts. According to Bill Grimsbow, N0PNP, the District C Emergency Coordinator, more than 170 hours of volunteer service on the part of amateur radio volunteers working with response agencies were invested in District C during this emergency. These people commit their personal time, as well as working regular hours at jobs that represent a cross-section of America's workforce for the greater good of the community. More than 26 radio amateurs from St. Louis Metro Aries, St. Charles County Aries, Illinois Section Aries, and St. Louis, and Suburban Radio Club members worked with the American Red Cross in serving in excess of 19,400 meals and coordinating more than 640 overnight stays. Aries and club operators were asked to help coordinate communications among shelters in four counties and Red Cross headquarters. On average, the volunteers worked 6 to 8 hour shifts using personal radio equipment while employing local repeaters maintained by area radio clubs to pass messages. They worked with shelter staff to fulfill the needs of hundreds displaced by severe flooding in the St. Louis area. Much of the radio traffic was handled on a repeater maintained by the Monsanto Amateur Radio Association, a repeater that had been damaged by a lightning strike in August. Repairs were completed just weeks prior to the onset of flooding in the area. Steve Wooten, KC0QMU, the St. Louis Metro Aries Emergency Coordinator, told us, "The amateur radio operators in the greater St. Louis area have knowledge and equipment to connect any agency to another when in times of need. We can set up and be connected within an hour of responding to the call for assistance." St. Charles County Division of Emergency Management also called on Aries in that county to execute road closure reconnaissance for emergency services. Volunteers also performed windshield damage assessments, where they drove by hundreds of homes, surveying them for minor to catastrophic damage. In a demonstration of solidarity in this disaster, St. Francis and St. Genevieve County ARES organizations worked together, assisting the St. Genevieve County Emergency Management Agency with 24-hour walks to assess the condition of the critical levees that protect lives and property in St. Genevieve County. More than 20 people died in the historic flooding. Hundreds were displaced from their homes as rivers, streams, and lakes overflowed banks and levees. Wastewater treatment facilities were overwhelmed, and some drinking water treatment facilities were shut down. President Obama issued a federal disaster declaration, and the Federal Highway Administration pledged $1 million for emergency highway repairs. Thanks to Janelle Heibel, N0MTI, the St. Louis, Missouri Metro ARES Public Information Officer, for this report. It's time now for a station break. This is the ARRL ARES Audio E-Letter for January 20th, 2016. Please stand by. We'll be right back. ARES supports major flood response in Pacific Northwest. Once again, the Centralia area in southwest Washington state was on Mother Nature's target list for December rains and local flooding. The week of December 2nd through 8th brought continuous rain to the Pacific Northwest, with very heavy rains on Monday, December 7th. Three major rivers, the Chehalis, the Skookumchuck, and the Newaukum, quickly reached flood stage. The city of Centralia opened its Emergency Operations Center on Tuesday, December 8th, to get ahead of the potentially devastating floodwaters. By 5 p.m. on Tuesday, the Centralia ARES team was activated on a 24-hour basis. During hours of darkness, team members monitored the EOC amateur radio systems and helped set up the remainder of the EOC for a full-scale response on Wednesday. During the early morning hours of Wednesday, December 9th, two local creeks, China Creek and Sulzer Creek, overflowed their banks and inundated the Centralia downtown area with water before the major rivers had reached flood stage. As a result of the Incident Action Plan, which was issued at 8 a.m. Wednesday, ARES team members began the second phase of their response duties. They performed windshield surveys to determine the extent and depth of water in each residential area in the city. The ARES teams also monitored selected high water points to provide eyes-on-the-scene information on how fast floodwaters were rising. Throughout the day, hams reported conditions block by block, response area by response area, to the EOC and incident commanders. Late in the day on Wednesday, the area caught a break when the rains slowed, then stopped. By late Wednesday evening, even though the rivers were still climbing to flood stage, emergency managers could breathe a sigh of relief as it was clear the local flooding was not going to be the disaster we've experienced before, when Interstate 5 was closed for days due to water over its roadway. Area-wide, several dangerous landslides occurred, and the Highway 12 over White Pass to eastern Washington was closed as the road was washed away in four locations. This pass will potentially remain closed for weeks or even months, as snow on the pass hinders roadway repairs. In all, the ARES team deployed 75% of its members, totaling just over 70 volunteer hours for the community. Each flood is different from the last. Centralia ARES has worked through four major floods since 2007, and with localized flooding almost every November or December. The ARES team continues to refine its response techniques, drill on flood responses, and work with its served agencies to shape the way it provides disaster information to the EOC. Flexibility has allowed the ARES team to be useful in several different directions as we continue to serve our small community. We thank Bob Wiley, KD7OWN, the Emergency Coordinator for the Centralia Amateur Radio Emergency Service, for this report. Global Set 2015 is a wrap with lessons learned. More than 36 countries took part in the 2015 Global Simulated Emergency Test, also known as Global Set, last month. Global Set was organized by IARU Region 1 and designed in part to measure the disaster readiness of amateur radio. IARU Region 1 Emergency Communications Coordinator Greg Mossop, G0DUB, pointed out that the 2015 event differed from other global sets held since 2006, which emphasized message handling and setting up stations in the field. Mr. Mossop said the IARU Emergency Communications Coordinators decided that the best way to achieve this would be to have an availability or call-out exercise. He added, it asked all countries with emergency communications groups to contact their members and ask them how quickly they could get on the air if required. The start of the exercise was not announced in advance, but propagated via a variety of channels, including email and social media. IARU regional coordinators chose December 18th as being clear of most social and cultural events. A time limit of up to 48 hours was set for potential responding organizations to complete the local call-out exercise and submit results via a web form. The survey results covered an estimated 8,466 members worldwide, of which 2,048 reported they could be available in less than an hour. Mr. Mossop also said, this exercise occurred on a normal business day in many countries. An availability rate of 20% to 30% of stations is very good and does seem reasonable as a planning assumption for future exercises. Mr. Mossop also said, the exercise identified a need to revise or improve alerting procedures. Where possible, a mixture of methods should be used for alerting members with automatic feedback of message delivery or the response. He also added that reliance on any single system, such as email, was not the best approach. Thanks to Jim Linton, VK3PC, and the ARRL letter for this information. Well, it's time once again to allow repeaters to identify. We'll be right back. West Central Florida Aries ACS Group learns in Skywarn course. Largo, Florida, private citizens, amateur operators, and CERT team members gathered last month at the new Pinellas County EOC for a Skywarn training class. Pinellas County is west of Tampa, Florida. With a population of almost 1 million, it is exposed to severe tropical weather on the coast of the Gulf of Mexico. Its county seat is Clearwater, and its largest city is St. Petersburg. The class was hosted by the Pinellas County Auxiliary Communications Service, or ACS, Aries Unit, along with their sponsoring agency, the Pinellas County Emergency Management Agency. The Pinellas County Aries and ACS comprise amateur radio operators who provide support to government and other agencies as needed. The class boasted 100 attendees and was taught by Dan Noah, NOAA Warning Coordination Meteorologist at the Ruskin, Florida National Weather Service Office. The class was welcomed to the new Pinellas County EOC by Emergency Manager Sally Bishop, who said, in part, that this effort on the part of our ACS group netted the largest spotter training class that Ruskin National Weather Service has ever had. We are grateful for the community service provided by the spotters, as it is a vital piece of the process that takes place between the Weather Service and emergency management to ensure the community is warned and is as ready as possible for weather events. Mr. Noah said Skywarn is a program sponsored by your National Weather Service, NWS, consisting of trained weather spotters who provide reports of hazardous weather to help in the warning process. Skywarn spotter reports provide vital ground truth to the NWS. These reports serve the NWS mission of protecting life and property from the adverse impacts of severe weather. Each year, our spotters donate their time and/or equipment to help the NWS in the severe weather warning process. Clayton Parrott, KJ4RUS, the Pinellas County Ares ACS radio officer and emergency coordinator, said, "We are helping our citizens become more aware of weather-related events such as tornadoes, lightning, and now the threat of El Nino by providing them with preparedness tools such as the Skywarn training. In doing this, we help them to be better prepared for severe weather-related events in their communities. There are no prerequisites to become a Skywarn spotter, but spotters must be 18 years of age or older to receive a Skywarn certification and a spotter ID number. Training included what to look for when reporting weather, what to report, how to estimate hail size and wind speed, and the format to use, TEL, which means time, event, location. Since El Nino will be a major weather factor for the next few months, Mr. Noah detailed some of the added risks for Florida. When asked about the effect of El Nino on weather in Florida, Mr. Noah replied, "El Nino, the warming of the waters in the tropical Pacific, naturally occurs every 2 to 7 years. During an El Nino, Florida has an increased risk of severe weather and flooding from January through April as the upper-level jet stream changes its path from north of Florida to crossing central Florida. This allows environmental conditions to become more favorable for severe weather more often. There will be about 7 or so nights this winter and spring where people will want to pay extra attention to the weather as it moves through their area." Mr. Noah suggested having multiple ways to receive tornado warnings, including NOAA weather radio and smartphone apps. Our thanks to Kevin Poorman, KC4VT, the Public Information Officer for Pinellas County, Florida, Ares ACS Public Service Communications. Winter Field Day at end of month. Winter Field Day is held annually on the last full weekend of January. This month it will be held January 30th and 31st from 17 hours UTC on Saturday through 17 hours UTC on Sunday. The Winter Field Day Association, or WFDA, is a group of amateurs who sponsor the event. They believe that emergency communications skills, practice, and training in a winter environment is as important as the preparations and exercising performed in the more benign seasons. Winter conditions pose special environmental challenges to operators in the field. WFDA's stated goal is to help enhance your skills and ready you for all environmental conditions found in the United States and Canada during the spring, summer, fall, and winter. To see the rules, visit www.winterfieldday.com/rules.html. And Winter Field Day is all one word. I'll repeat that URL. It's www.winterfieldday.com/rules.html, and Winter Field Day is all one word. Northern Indiana Hams activate NWS office for Skywarn Recognition Day. This from the ARRL Indiana Section Newsletter, December 2015. 14 operators from various Northern Indiana amateur radio clubs collaborated to activate the National Weather Service office in North Webster for the 17th Annual Skywarn Recognition Day, or SRD, on December 5, 2015. When Michael Lewis, the warning coordination meteorologist for the Northern Indiana NWS office, asked for a radio club to organize the event, the Fort Wayne Radio Club accepted the task. Jim Murring, KB9WWM, the District 3 Ares DEC, served as the point of contact for volunteers to register. For security purposes at the NWS office, all volunteer operators were required to pre-register for operating time slots to gain access to the facility. Setup began at 2030 UTC on December 4th. The setup team installed a custom-made bracket to one of the parking lot light poles, which served as the common mounting point for three end-fed antenna matching boxes. The end-fed antennas have demonstrated their effectiveness and ease of installation in several other field operations. 20-meter and 40-meter tuned end-fed wires were stretched to conveniently located 30-foot-tall light poles. Ropes were lifted over the light poles using an extended painter's pole. This avoided the hassles that are associated with air cannons and slingshot projectiles for such placements. A multiband Chameleon MCOM-2 end-fed antenna was placed over a third light pole using the same technique. A dual-band aluminum J-pole was placed 20 feet in the air on a telescoping aluminum mast mounted on a heavy-duty tripod base. Coax was run from the four antennas to a 4-inch diameter pipe pass-through in the wall of the NWS office directly into the operations conference room. The entire four-antenna setup was completed before dusk at 2215 UTC. Three HF stations and one VHF station were quickly connected to the coax, with time to spare before the zero-hour UTC December 5th Skywarn Recognition Day start time. The Northern Indiana NWS was activated for the full 24-hour period of the event. Many contacts were made using IRLP via the K9DEW repeater outside Warsaw. Many NWS offices were connected to the IRLP Eastern Reflector during the event. The final QSO count of 181 total contacts included 46 other NWS offices. Some offices were contacted on multiple bands. Approximately two-thirds of the QSOs were with individual hams not affiliated with NWS offices. The Northern Indiana NWS Skywarn Recognition Day operation succeeded with both goals. One, demonstrate communications continuity between NWS offices when usual means are overloaded or non-functioning in a disaster. And two, promote goodwill and positive public relations between amateur operators and the National Weather Service. Following the event, Michael Lewis sent congratulations to all the operators who supported the Northern Indiana operation, along with a certificate of appreciation from the NWS. It's time once again to take a short pause. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for January 20th, 2016, and I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. We'll continue now with Letters, HOA Embraces Amateur Radio for Emergencies. Dr. Tim Tatum, K6SLK-4 in Gainesville, Virginia, writes to tell us, a new club has formed in Gainesville, Virginia. It's the Heritage Hunt Hams. Heritage Hunt is a gated, 55-plus community of 1,800 homes near the intersection of Highway 66 and Highway 29, about 30 miles west of Washington, D.C. Two dozen amateurs participate in an annual emergency exercise for the community. 80 trained emergency volunteers, many of whom are doctors, nurses, firemen, policemen, and military officers, participate in the same exercise. The hams are the primary source of communication. The Homeowners Association, or HOA, has purchased radios, power supplies backed up with emergency power, and 2-meter 440 megahertz antennas at four locations. The group's amateur radio operators offer support to the Prince William Aries Organization for Emergencies at the west end of the county. Thank you, Tim, for that news. It's good to hear that at least one homeowners association recognizes the value of having a pool of amateur radio operators on hand in case of an emergency. Perhaps more will follow suit. Tips for beginning net control operators. Here in Northwest Ohio, we have acquired many new hams and encourage them to operate as Net Control Station, or NCS, for various routine nets to gain them experience and providing us with a pool of competent net controllers in the event of an emergency or disaster. Now, here are some of the basic tips we convey to our novice net control stations for a smoothly running net. Number one, have a glass of water or something ready to drink. 2. Make yourself comfortable. Sit in a good location with plenty of room on a desk or table to write. 3. Have a good writing instrument and a backup along with extra pieces of paper in case you need to jot down notes. Number 4. Take your time. Go at your own pace. Remember, you are in control of the net and the frequency. 5. Don't worry about making mistakes. There are no mistakes to be made. 6. To handle the crowd that is trying to check in, you will develop your own way. 7. Stop stations from checking in by saying, "Let's hold it for a minute," until you're caught up. 8. Weak stations and stations who give their call signs too fast are always a problem. Skip them at first. Go back later for repeats. Number 9. Write your log as you see fit. You are the one that has to read it. And finally, 10. Headphones are a good idea. They help you focus on what you're hearing and help keep you from getting distracted. As I mentioned before, there are no mistakes, only experience. When you have finished the net, that is what you will have. We wish to thank Steve Bellner, W8TER, in Maumee, Ohio, for these fine suggestions. Sacramento EC recognized for past service. The following is from the ARRL Sacramento Section News. At the January 9, 2016 Sacramento County, California Aries Training Class, held at Metro Fire District Station 106, past Sacramento County Aries Emergency Coordinator John Staples, KI6ZWW, received a plaque, quote, "in appreciation for all of his time and hard work spent to improve Sacramento County Aries and RACES during 2012 through 2015. District 3 EC Greg Krukowit, KG6SJT, and Sacramento County Assistant EC Vince Cracciolo, KI6NHP, presented the award on behalf of all members of Sacramento County Aries RACES and the Sacramento County Office of Emergency Services. Sacramento County Aries officials held its first training meeting for 2016 on January 9th at the Metro Fire Training Center Station 106 in Sacramento. Training was based on an emergency communications course, which is part of the Disaster Deployment Corps training. See something, say something. From the ARRL Maryland DC Section News, amateur radio plays a significant role in communication before, during, and after a local crisis. But we are always communicating, so we may be the first to see and hear things of a suspicious nature. The nature of our community outreaches and partnerships allow us to quickly communicate as a team. Let us keep our nation safe and secure by keeping a watchful eye and ear for potential threats. Contact local law enforcement authorities directly to report suspicious activities. To learn more about identifying suspicious activities, look at the Department of Homeland Security website. Be safe and help protect our safety. Aries in 2015. Based on reports submitted by ARRL Section Emergency Coordinators, with 33 out of 71 sections reporting in, here's what we know about the state of Aries in 2015. The total number of Aries members in 2015 was 17,756, compared to 10,471 in 2014. The total number of Aries nets in 2015 was 10,927 compared to 8,786 in 2014. While these numbers are impressive, they also show a clear problem. 38 ARRL sections did not submit a report during 2015. In fact, for some, it has been several years since a report has been received. It isn't too late, though. SEC monthly reports for December 2015 may be submitted until January 31, 2016. These numbers come only from the SEC monthly report form FSD-96. This form provides ARRL headquarters the overall picture of Aries in a section. The information used to complete this form comes from the local and district emergency coordinators. That is why it is critical for ECs and DECs to report to their SEC each month. It is also worth noting that three sections, Eastern Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Dakota, had 100% reporting from their respective SECs in 2015. These SECs, as well as those submitting at least 9 monthly reports, will be thanked with a special gift from ARRL headquarters. When our national partners ask about Aries, numbers are important. The only way we can count what Aries is doing in your section is by hearing from the SEC or the section manager. ECs and DECs, make sure you submit your reports each month. SECs, make sure to report to headquarters. The last thing we want to do is report to a partner that Aries is inactive in a particular section. Turn in those reports and be counted. That from Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager. Maritime Mobile Service Network, NCS, relays distress call. On January 11, 2016, at approximately 1520 UTC, an unknown operator reported on 14.300 MHz that a maritime vessel in distress was heard on 14.313 MHz and that no one was assisting. Upon hearing the call, Maritime Net Control Station William Sturridge, KI4MMZ, responded to the frequency and received the Mayday call from Harold Hillman, K6RTD, aboard the sailing yacht Second Wind. Mr. Hillman reported that his vessel was approximately 85 nautical miles south-southeast of Cabo San Lucas, which is off the tip of the Baja Peninsula. Mr. Hillman advised that his 37-foot sailing vessel had lost its sails and solar power, and its dinghy boat was set adrift, and the winds were reported to be in excess of 20 knots. Mr. Sturridge notified the United States Coast Guard in Alameda, California, and connected with Coast Guard Chief Sawanka. Chief Sawanka was then put in direct contact with the vessel in distress via a patch provided by Mr. Sturridge at 1542 UTC. It was reported that the United States Coast Guard ultimately notified the Mexican Coast Guard, who was prepared to be responding to the location to assist the ailing vessel. Dealing with maritime emergencies is not unusual for the Maritime Mobile Service Network. Mr. Sturridge is no stranger to emergency maritime rescues and has assisted in many past rescues. He was recently recognized by the United States Coast Guard with a Public Service Commendation Award on July 15, 2014, for his many years of service. Our thanks to Renee Stiegler, K4EDX, for this report. And that concludes the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for January 20, 2016. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit us on the web at ARRL.org. You may also find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have any questions about amateur radio or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2016 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved. Thanks for listening, and 73.